Good morning.
It is good to be back in the house of the Lord today. And we're thankful that in His providence that He's allowed us to be here. I'd like to greet each one that is here in the congregation and also those that may be listening out on the airways. And we're thankful that we have a sovereign God that we can come to and that we serve according to His will and His purpose. And so today I'd like to speak to professing children of God, God's elect children that has been called by His name. We live in troublesome times today. We know all the news that we've heard in our nation the past week and things that's going on. And so it behooves us as the children of God that we be strong in faith, that we are able, by God's grace, to stand for the truths of God's Word and not to cower down to opposition that we might run into, that we can always base what we say and what we believe upon the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
So today I would like, the title of my sermon today, if it has to have a title, would be Confronting Casual Christianity. Now, we know that in today's society that people are not as serious and take things as serious as they should as being a child of God. Casual, the word casual means occurring without regularity. Feeling or showing little concern. Lacking a high degree of interest or devotion. Done without serious intent or commitment. Now we see a lot of, don't see a lot today of commitment. Among, I feel, in the religious realm, that we are really committed. To be committed, that we have to not only have a head knowledge, but it has to be in the heart. Before it will work out in our everyday lives. So that's the reason we need to be diligent in teaching and preaching the Word of God as it is in Christ Jesus. But the Lord doesn't give us much wiggle room. You know, it's sad today that even among the churches of God and the children of professing Christendom, that divorce is over 50% of marriages. Why is that? Commitment. Marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a commitment. Just as that when we, God quickens us and brings us into the family of God, that there is commitment. And in order for there to be commitment, there has to be more than a head knowledge. There has to be in the heart.
Amen.
If it's not in the heart, then it won't show up in our everyday living. The word apathy, lack of feeling or emotion, lack of interest or concern, impassiveness, giving no sign of feeling or emotion, indifference, absence of compulsion to or toward one thing or another. We don't seem to be concerned or compassionate or eager to follow after the things of the Lord as we should. So, it is incumbent upon us as children of God to be faithful to the Word of God. We, as the children of God, we believe in the sovereignty of Almighty God. We believe that God purposed and planned our salvation, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, before the foundation of the world. And that in this space of time that He will quicken those and bring them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But He also, in this purpose and plan, that He purposed a plan for His churches to as a ministry, and He told them in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, that they to go into all nations, to preach the gospel to every creature, to baptize them, and to teach them to observe and to do all things that I have commanded you. So, we have the attitude sometimes that we say, well, God is elected. They're going to be saved anyway. No, they're not going to be saved anyway. They're going to be saved God's way. And that is that that God will quicken a dead soul. Because we are dead in trespasses and in sins, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you who He hath quickened, who are dead in trespasses and in sins, that is the first step of eternal salvation, is the quickening to make us alive.
That right?
And then we are in a position that when God sends the message, that He will send it effectually to those that He means for it to go to. According to Acts chapter 13 and verse 48, I believe, it says that those that was ordained to eternal life believed. So, the Lord has purposed and planned that we, every human being, is without excuse. He gives a general call, as we are doing today, in preaching the gospel to every creature. But the Lord will send that word effectually to wherever He wants to send. He says, my word will not return unto me void.
That's right.
So when we preach it, it will accomplish that which the Lord has purposed for it to be done. So that's where we as the people of God, people have a hard time sometimes distinguishing or bringing compatibility to the sovereignty of God in our responsibility as a Christian. And so we're going to read some scriptures in a little bit concerning that. But in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, talking about Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. And here he is weeping and sorrowful for the daughters of his people. It says, "Oh, that my head were water, and mine eyes as a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people." You know, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord says, "If my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land."
Amen.
So we need to be a compassionate people, being concerned about the people of God. And he was concerned about his people here, and he was weeping about it. And that is a condition that we show forth, I believe, as being a true child of God, that we show compassion and concern for other people. Verse 2 says, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers and an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bows for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord." We are in a situation in our nation today that sin is rampant. We have leaders that is in charge of our nation today that are not leading according, I believe, to the Word of God. So we need to pray for them. The Lord says for us to pray for those that have authority over us, that He would deal with them according to His will and His purpose. Jeremiah 8:18-19, it says, "When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is fainting me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughters of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion?" Is not the Lord here? Is he not in the church of God? Is he is not in this world? Is not her king in her? The Lord is here. The Lord is among us. He is omnipresent. He's with us at all times. It says, "Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities?" God responds that Jerusalem's destruction was brought about by their sins, not by his absence. Now, God hadn't moved.
Amen.
If it's any moving, we do the moving. So we have to, if we've moved away from God, then we got to move back. Or he's not going to move. He said, "My word is established in heaven forever." And he's not going to change that.
Amen.
So we're the ones that's going to have to get lined up. So the passiveness, the compassionate heart that seeks after those who know not Christ as a living Savior is our greatest need. We need to be a more compassionate people in trying to spread and tell people of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's needed in the world today. Amos chapter 6 and verse 1, the judgment of Israel here says, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria." Now this word Zion is the city of God, and I believe it has a reference to the church of God. It says that they are at ease in Zion. We are ease in the church of God. And trust in the mountain of Samaria. Samaria is indicative of and has a connotation of being identified with the world. So, we in the church of God are in the Zion of God. I'm afraid sometime we're looking more to the world. Instead of the church being in the world, the world is in the church. So that's where we have so many problems. Apathy and complacency are sins which are an insult to God Almighty. Believers sin far more against the Lord by what they fail to do than what they do. The unorganized indifference within the ranks of the church can be more harmful to the service and the ministry of God than the sins outside the church. Spiritual apathy, coldness, or indifference can afflict even the most sincere Christian. Our emotions and our human makeup sometimes are weak. The scripture says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So, 1 John, I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 John. Chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I'd like to begin reading with verse 3. Read through verse 6. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keep not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith that he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walks." Right. So, the Lord, you know, our salvation was purposed and planned in eternity past. It will be consummated in eternity future at the glorification. Now, that is so sure for the elect of God, that God expects us to live our everyday lives as if that we have already been glorified. Because we are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So, it's a serious thing when we go away as professing Christians from the will of God. First John chapter 3 and verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. The Lord does not put up with impurity in his saints. In verse 14 of that same chapter, 1 John 3:14, it says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death," or is still in death, hadn't been born again, if you don't love your brother. So, the one who realizes he is spiritually apathetic needs to, first of all, make sure that he is a true believer in Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know," genosko, that means to know for a surety, or have confidence, "that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." If he knows that he is a true believer in Christ, he needs to then ask himself this question: what caused me to lose my love and my passion for the Lord? Well, one cause of spiritual apathy is sin in a believer's life. When David sinned, he felt separated from God. In Psalm 51:11, he says, "Cast me not away from my presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." As David confessed his sin to God, David prayed for God to renew a steadfast spirit within him. Psalms 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And David had the request, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Psalm 51:12 says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." See, it's God's salvation, not ours. "And uphold me with thy free spirit." A believer who feels spiritually apathetic should confess any known sin and ask for God's cleansing and renewal. Any cause of spiritual apathy is allowing dead orthodox to replace a true love for the Lord. You know, we can say we love the Lord. I know the scriptures. I believe the doctrines. But that can be done by the head only and not in the heart. And when it is, that's a dead orthodoxy, that love, not doing it out of love, but we're doing out of duty or what we think we have, what we have to do. So, a Christian is to be marked by his love for and obedience to Jesus Christ. John 14:21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." So, true love is demonstrated by obedience to the Lord's commandments. His love and obedience to Christ will cause the Father to love them. Christ, too, will love those who obey and will reveal himself to them through the Spirit and the Word. The Lord told the Ephesian church in Revelation 2 and verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." You have forsaken the love that you first had for me. And when Paul wrote this same church around A.D. 60, he commended them for their love. In Ephesians 1:15-16, he says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. But now, some 30 years later, they had left their first love. Their passion had waned." Why? Well, perhaps the Ephesians had begun to take for granted what they had in Christ. You know, we don't need to take anything for granted. We don't need to take our salvation for granted.
Amen.
The Lord didn't have to save anybody. But we ought to be thankful and grateful to the Lord that He chose us.
That's right.
And brought us into His kingdom. So, the service of the Lord become boring, and we're losing sight of their eternal purpose. You know, the eternal purpose of God for His elect is that they be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And that will happen because He is working things out according to His will and purpose. Now, what is the solution then for turning spiritual apathy into a renewed love and passion for Jesus Christ? The word to the spiritual apathy Ephesian church was, consider how far that you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did first. The spiritual apathetic person needs to remember, to repent, and to renew. We need to go back and remember where we were at first with our love to the Lord. Then we need to repent for the sin that has caused us to get away. And then we need to ask for renewed spirit that we might enjoy thy salvation. Revelation 2 and 5 says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." It is a fear that we as a church of God get away from God enough that He will move the Holy Spirit from among us. So it's a serious thing that we not get away from God and sin from Him. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness," or from all sin. So finally, the need to renew, that is, he must cultivate a renewed commitment to the Lord, not just serving the Lord, but knowing him. Paul said, that I might know him. Until we actually thoroughly understand and know the Lord in our hearts, then we will be able to follow him, to praise him, and to fellowship with him. An individual that is spiritually apathetic, if he has discontinued his Bible reading every day or his praying every day, then there needs to be continually daily Bible reading and prayer. We need that the Holy Spirit indwell us in. The Scripture tells us that we need to shed abroad in our hearts the Word of God, that we might not sin against him. And I believe our spiritual maturity is in relationship to how much that we have the Word of God shed abroad in our hearts and our lives. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He should fellowship. Listen to this. A child of God should fellowship with a Bible-believing local church. That's the best education you can get, is sit under a godly pastor, under a true New Testament Baptist church that teaches the Word of God. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In verse 26 it says that if you sin willfully, there is no more sacrifice for sin. If a child of God willfully lays out of the attendance of the sanctuary of God for no providential reason, it is if he is shaking his fist in the face of God and says, I'm not going to do what you have said to do. And there's no more sacrifice for that. God is going to judge you and he's going to chastise you for that willful sin. So, Satan loves apathy. He loves to see children of God get away from God. We must never lose the sense that God is always with us and in us as a child of God. He's omnipresent. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 says, but we have the treasures in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This spiritual life, and this life that we live, is of God, not of us. Ephesians 1:17 through 19, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So, I'd like for you to turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, "Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Now, what is he talking about? Go back up to 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 and 4. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us into glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Now, listen to verses 5 through 7. "And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore," considering what's just been said, verse 10, "wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail." So, this is part of growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to give all diligence. That means work at. It says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, God has put in the salvation. Now, our responsibility is to be faithful to him and to work out that salvation that he might receive honor and glory.
Amen.
So, for if these things be in you and abound, if they exist in you and if they abound, you will be effective and fruitful. These are the elements of success in the Christian life. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he has been purged from his old sins. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 1, says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." So, I would like to leave today that we, as the people of God and the church of the living God, that we would be more mindful of our responsibility and our duty toward the Lord and his word, that he might receive honor and glory. It's not what we say. It's not what we say.
That's right.
But it's what we do.
Amen.
It's what the Lord said. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. My question today is not so much as do I know God, but does God know you? Does God know me? So we need to be mindful of that, that from eternity past to eternity future, God is working out his salvation for his elect people. And our responsibility is to be faithful to him and his word, that we might be a shining light to the world. Not to get honor and glory to ourselves, but the scripture says there in Matthew that they might see and glorify your Father which is in heaven by the way that we act and that we live. May God bless you. Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne, we come thanking you for the privilege of being able to be in your house today. I pray that there's been something said today that might help us along our Christian life, that we could be more faithful to you in the future than we have been in the past. And Heavenly Father, that one day that we'll stand before you and that you can announce, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But we know that all of this is not by any works that we have done, but is because of the free grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For whom that you foreknew, you predestinate, you call, you justify, and you glorify. And all is by thy grace and thy mercy and thy power. And it's not by any works that we have done. And we just thank you for all that you've done for us. On the cross of Calvary, and in your life, in your death, burial, and resurrection. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for his sake, amen.